This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Free your mind! I wear tight clothing, high heel shoes. It doesn't mean that I'm a prostitute.
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In the most biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker,
sex worker,
wench, bow metamine.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, I begins to gather in me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
That's a shotgun.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. My name is Christian, and I'm your regular presenter here every Monday night at 11 p.m. This is the only show in the world, I discovered earlier this week, that is publicly broadcasted to your radios, that is entirely presented and produced by sex workers themselves. This is your opportunity to explore life from a sex worker's perspective. And on tonight's program, we'll be talking about the media and it's the way that the mainstream media can perpetuate the stigma against sex workers.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If at any point you'd like to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427-JOY-949. That's SMSing in on 0427-569-949. You can call Robert on the front desk at 1300-JOY-949. That's 1300-569-949. Or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, every week on the Vixen Hour, I'm joined by a new guest host. And tonight I'm joined by the fabulous Jane Green. Welcome, Jane.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm excellent, Christian.
So Jane is one of the most active, busy, passionate, involved people in the sex worker rights movement I know. But I'll let you introduce yourself, Jane. So who is Jane Green?
Oh, scary. Well, most days I'm the person sitting next to you on the tram playing the iPod too loud. I'm a sex worker activist, performance artist. I identify as queer.
Great.
That's me.
Yay. We love that. As listeners would know, I am joined by a new co-host here every week. So, Jane, how would you define what sex work is? This is something that we ask, you know, all guest co-hosts here on the Vixen Hour. Yeah, so what does sex work mean to you?
It's very simple. Sex work is work. It's what I do for a living. It'd be great if I had the same labour rights and human rights as other people when I'm doing that. But the problem is right now here in Australia and Victoria, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think people often conceive of sex workers as one-dimensional characters, as if it's the only thing that defines us. So yes, I'm a sex worker, but I'm also a friend and I'm a daughter. And sex work means I earn enough money to live, but probably not as much as most people imagine. Most importantly for me, sex work means I can manage my time around my life, my logical family, who are the queer and sex worker peers who have supported me throughout my life, and my sex worker advocacy work. So sex work isn't all I am, but it's a key part of who I am. And it's not something I ever intend on giving up. I like my job.
I mean, that's so. It's I quite often feel that way. Like, you know, a lot of my friends are sex workers. My support network is made up of sex workers. My logical family is sex workers. You know, for a really long time, that's what saw me through, and that's what's sort of kept me, you know, reflective and having a really, really healthy mentality about the way I work. So, I think that's really, really great that you sort of identify that way. I'm just wondering, how long have you done sex work for?
Oh,
if that's not a rude question.
I think that's a state secret. I've done sex work pretty much all of my adult life.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Yeah.
All of my adult life. Yeah. My age is a state secret.
We'll not go there. But we were talking, you've done sex work in a lot of different places throughout the world.
Yes. I'm originally from New Zealand, and I've worked in New Zealand. I've worked in America and in the UK and in every state and territory in Australia.
Fantastic.
I finally got the last stamp on my bingo card in October last year. So.
Uh-huh. Brilliant.
I've been around. So.
Yay.
But, I mean, that's good in my advocacy work because it gives me the ability to, one, keep in touch with sex workers around Australia because I actually tour doing sex work and I work as a FIFO sex worker.
Yeah, so that's fly in, fly out.
And also I compare the different laws because every state and territory does things differently.
That's right.
And I have to work differently everywhere that I travel to work.
So that's right. In Australia, sex work is regulated at a state level for people who don't know that. So for someone like Jane who does travel around the country, it can be quite a challenge, I guess, to get used to different ways of working.
You actually have to do quite a lot of research to know what you're doing and how to operate.
Yeah. How does Melbourne compare with the rest of the country?
Well, I mean, Victoria places a lot of restrictions on sex workers and the way we can work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mandatory testing is a good example.
Yeah.
And I think Victorian sex workers are really aware of that, but I think other Victorians probably aren't.
Yeah. So people in the state may not realise that mandatory testing is, it used to be monthly. It's now been reduced to 3 monthly testing for sex workers. That's quite a unique thing to Victoria. And is there any other states that have mandatory testing? I'm putting Jane on the spot here. or Queensland. I don't know. Maybe someone can text in.
Yeah.
0427 join 949.
I haven't had enough coffee in the last half hour. But, I mean, certainly it's been a big change for Victorian sex workers having the reduction in mandatory testing from a month to 3 months. It'd be better if we didn't have it at all.
Yeah.
And certainly as a group, sex workers have the best sexual health and the highest condom usage of any group in the community.
Yeah.
So why we have to spend a day, and it's usually a day.
Yeah, a whole day
at a clinic getting a test when we're the safest segment of the community.
And then having to come back a week later and spend another day just to get results.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. And it clogs up a public health system that could be better serving other segments of the community that do need that space.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting as somebody who receives a lot of those health promotion messages in the gay community about testing, it always kind of blows my mind that people whinge about having to go for testing every 3 months, whereas like sex workers up until very recently had legally had to do it every month. We just had to suck it up and do it. But thankfully that situation has changed. Well, it's been very nice meeting you, Jane. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show. So Jane and I, as I said at the beginning of the hour, we will be talking about the role that mainstream media plays in perpetuating the social stigma that is experienced by sex workers. You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Hello, listeners. It's Meow Meow, and you're with Thingy on wherever. Welcome to my world.
You are on The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and Jane. And tonight we are talking about the media, stigma and sex work. So for this first part, I thought we might talk about what it's like for a sex worker to actually pick up a newspaper and suddenly see, headlines that either describe us in terms that we don't really like or, I guess portray stories that don't really reflect, the realities of our situation. So I know that there are times when I look at the front page and, there's always some horrible headline about, murdered prostitute found, blah, blah, and it'll have a picture of the person. And for me, it can be like the most difficult thing because I just feel like, if that was ever me in that situation, I would be absolutely mortified. I'm wondering what you think there, Jane.
Yeah, the same too, but also just the terms that are consistently used to refer mm-hmm. to people in our community. You see, I think now, a mixture of terms, and 10 and 15 years ago, it would have been very consistently very stigmatic terms like prostitute, mm-hmm. whereas now you do see sex worker used.
Yeah.
And where you can see, obviously, the media has some understanding of what the right terms are, but they still consistently mix in the really horrific terms that are deeply upsetting to sex workers.
And I think, there is a growing consciousness around the actual rights of sex workers, and you can sometimes pick up that, you know, people are a little bit conscious of how we might read those things. And I certainly think, you know, the more sex workers become vocal in the community, the more that sort of stuff kind of happens. But there's still a lot of stigma that plays out, even in just like headlines of stories. And we've compiled a little list of about 15 headlines. This is by no means a comprehensive soundbite, but what I've done is I've put together certainly headlines that I've remembered over the years. And this is just recent, in the past few years. So I thought I might play some of those now.
Thompson Hooker claim made to Fair Work Australia in March.
SBS News, May 28th, 2012.
Sex worker exposes 250 to HIV.
The Courier Mail, January 29th, 2008.
Childhood lost. Underage prostitutes strain a system in crisis.
The Age, March 1st, 2009.
Angry whore kicks cop in genitals.
The Geelong Advertiser, May 1st, 2010.
US Olympian admits living a double life as prostitute.
The Age, December 21st. 2012.
Man held in gigolo vampire murder.
The Australian, August 8th, 2012.
Ex-prostitute jailed for killing punter.
News.com.au, October 11th, 2012.
Motels not happy about hookers.
Rockhampton Morning Bulletin, November 18th, 2011.
Male prostitute accused of infecting pair with HIV.
ABC News Online, November 20th, 2012.
Prostitute to sue brothel over gun.
The Age, August 13th, 2011.
HIV prostitute fears jail.
The Herald Sun, May 24th, 2012.
A whore and a gay. Triple J sledge on Julia and Tim.
News.com.au, December 2nd, 2011.
Cops target sex slaves, fear women are being trafficked to work as prostitutes.
The Herald Sun, August 7th, 2012.
New South Wales officer had sex with prostitute at police station.
9 News, January 15th, 2013.
Joy 94.9.
Well,
charming.
It is, isn't it? And, you know, it was funny. I put that together and I had uploaded it to the Vixen Hours Facebook page, which you can all find at facebook.com/ sex worker radio. But I sort of paused for a moment and thought, oh, hang on, this might be a bit too full on for people. But then I realised all of these are headlines that were published in newspapers. So it's not like, you know, journalists or newspapers or editors had actually thought of that. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. And it's really full on. Like, if you going by those headlines, you know, we're the most criminalised, scandalised community. You know, reading those headlines was a pretty full on experience. And it's weird because I can almost remember every single one of those stories.
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking of the exact same thing. Listening to those, I can remember those headlines because the impact they have mm-hmm. on, you know, sex workers reading those.
Yeah.
And the terms that are used to describe us when you hear about yourself, because mm-hmm. that's what's happening. You're hearing about yourself described in those terms is immense. And I don't think journalists get that.
Yeah.
I mean, and certainly when they're using epithets to describe us, because that's what prostitute is. It's mm-hmm. an epithet.
Yeah.
You read a story like that and it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
So I think people that are writing about us and speaking about us that aren't members of our community and mm-hmm. describing us in those terms need to try and understand that.
Yeah. And we did unpack this issue in our last show with the wonderful Eva Sless. Hello, if you're listening. And we talked about, you know, the use of prostitute and how people who seek to abolish sex work have really taken on that word and claimed it as their own and loaded up with all these meanings, and how people who believe in being scientifically accurate and respecting the dignity of marginalized communities would use terms like sex work instead. But the other thing that sort of struck me about listening to all of those headlines again is how many of them actually paint a really, really skewed picture. And a couple of examples were things like sex worker exposes 250 to HIV. I remember that was a Canberra case. So, and what sort of came out after a few days of this story, you know, being out there in the public was that, you know, it was about somebody who was working while they were HIV positive, and in Canberra and in Victoria, but in Canberra where the story was based, that's illegal. But the name of the law is deliberately, or something like deliberately infecting someone else, even though he hadn't engaged with anyone based on that. But the headline, sex worker exposes 250 to HIV, 250 was actually the number of people in that person's mobile phone. So the reality and the sensationalism that's reported quite often is not connected very well. And I think what headlines have the power to do is shape the public perception of who and what sex workers are. So, you know, if somebody reads, you know, sex worker exposes 250 people to HIV, call the police, lock us all up, yeah, if that was really the case, but no, it's not.
And it plays enormously into stigma, you know, for our community, and that plays again into, you know, potential discrimination against our community.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's why we do have laws like, you know, like mandatory testing, we were saying before. If people think that we are exposing, you know, a high number of people to infectious diseases, which is the epidemiological evidence has shown is completely the opposite. There hasn't been a single recorded case of HIV transmission in a sex worker setting. Quite often, sex workers are recognised as having a lower prevalence of STIs than the general community. So, you know, the media reporting just doesn't really help change discriminatory laws to actually reflect the reality of the situation.
And I think, I mean, one of the things that I think it's difficult for people to understand is when we talk about discrimination in terms of the sex worker community, it's a very intangible concept for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, what that means. You talk about, and as a queer person, I mean, you talk about homophobia, that's meaningful for people. People understand that these days.
Yeah.
You talk about discrimination in terms of the sex worker community, people don't really have a handle on what that means. So to explain that briefly for people, the sorts of things that can happen to us as sex workers are things like outing, which is something that has a certain congruence with, you know, queer community. But, you know, discrimination in terms of housing and banking and insurance. Yeah. And I've had actually banking services refused, which is completely legitimate because we don't have a defence against that in terms of anti-discrimination protections in most states and territories in Australia, and no protections at a federal level.
No, that's right.
We can be discriminated against on the basis of our sex worker status in court, and particularly in the family court.
Yeah.
Discriminated against in terms of employment opportunities, have our information leaked and misused in terms of our personal information if it's held by government, which it often is if we're forced to register as a sex worker, which is the case in Victoria if we want to work as a private sex worker. We don't, as I've just mentioned, have access to anti-discrimination remedies in terms of being discriminated against on the basis of employment. We have restrictions on travel for international travel and visas into certain countries.
That's right.
We are subject to harassment by police and certain authorities, and potentially in highly regulated regimes, police corruption and the corruption of certain authorities can be an issue.
Yeah.
And you actually see that reflected in media.
Yeah.
In Victoria within the last 12 months in terms of council authorities. And it's actually completely, I don't want to use the word legitimate, but it's allowable for doctors to refuse services on conscience in Australia against sex workers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are the types of discrimination we face.
Yeah.
And people don't realise it because our community is often invisible, except when we're in the media.
That's right.
And we're represented in a very stigmatized fashion.
Yeah. And if the only thing that you're seeing of us is, you know, a headline like angry whore kicked cop in genitals, which is kind of my favorite, I think. it's like, you know, how is anyone empowered to sort of have a voice? But that's why we here at the Vixen Hour like to examine these issues, because we believe sex workers do have a voice, and this is our way of doing it.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The time is 35 minutes past 11, or 25 minutes to 12. And you're with Christian and Jane. And what I thought we might talk about now is some of the work that Jane has done. So Jane, as Jane was explaining at the top of the hour, Jane does travel around Australia, but part of what she does around the country is lobbying and advocacy. And I guess part of that work is analysing the media in that area, getting a feel for what's out there and working with that, I guess, to tailor messages. Is that a nice summary-ish?
I get up to lots of things. I've also recently been doing some advocacy workshops, working with sex worker peers on advocacy work in terms of writing to politicians, but also pushing back against negative stuff on sex work in the media. And as part of that, I've become more interested in tracking what the media doing on sex work. And particularly in terms of Victoria, because let's face it, I've got a bias because I am based in Victoria. So I'm a little bit...
Yeah, there's a bit of a vested interest there.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been doing some research, particularly in the last couple of months, on what's been happening in 2012.
Great.
And it's ongoing research and it's yet to be subject to peer review. But I thought it's interesting to talk about the preliminary findings because it is really interesting what's come up. What I've looked at is breaking down the way sex work is discussed in the media and the sorts of terms that are used to discuss us. And so I wanted to talk about four sections from the current findings. And one of them is the terms that are used to discuss the sex industry and the breakdown between whether we're referred to as prostitution or sex work. Now, there's obviously lots of different terms that are used, but they're some of the major ones. Although pornography did come up as well, but that was mainly due to a book visit from a particular author. So excluding that, the breakdown actually comes down to prostitution 61% of the time and sex work 39% respectively. I mean, obviously as sex workers, we have really strong feelings about being referred to in that way because we obviously don't like one of those words and we like the other one a lot more.
Yeah.
So that affects how we feel about ourselves.
And I think it's quite telling because, you know, the person who's using those words is either sort of embodies a lot of the connotations that we spoke about in our last episode of the Vixen Hour, embodying those beliefs that, you know, sex work isn't a choice or that it's violence against women or it's inherently exploitative. Like
absolutely.
It's either that or they're ignorant that that's the case. And that's a worry. That's just as equally worry as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's interesting that the majority of the time sex work is actually referred to in a very inappropriate way.
And I think it's also interesting in light of the other findings. Now, one of the other sections of the research is who we interact with.
Yeah.
Now, this obviously isn't who we interact with in real life. This is who we interact with as reflected in the media. But in media representations in the Victorian media in 2012, we interact with the police more than twice as much as we interact with clients.
Wow.
Now, obviously, if this happened in the real world, we wouldn't be making any money. And that has a startling sort of impact on both how, you know, how I feel about the media and how they represent me as a sex worker, but also how the public and policymakers must perceive us and our perceived criminality, given that that's how the Victorian media are representing Victorian sex workers. So that, to me, is deeply concerning.
Yeah. It's extraordinary. 45.9% of the time that we are referred to in the media, we're in contact with the police, basically.
And 18% of the time with clients.
Yeah, wow. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's like a parallel universe.
That's not real life.
No.
I'm glad it's not real life.
But, you know, it's what's out there in public life. It's how we are publicly perceived, And you're right, it does sort of, it paints this picture that we are all criminals. But I think what's interesting is how they actually refer to us, like who we are. Do you want to go through those ones?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is interesting in context, in reflection against what they call the industry. And I'll just refer back to that. The breakdown again, between prostitution and sex workers, prostitution 61% and sex work 39%, that when we get to what we are called as sex workers, the breakdown is 30% prostitute and 40% sex worker.
Yeah, wow. So the majority of the time they're using the preferred term.
And I think this is a reflection of a couple of things. One, that it's more difficult to call us names when you're doing it about us as individuals.
Yep.
And two, that it's a reflection of sex workers actually speaking up for themselves in the Victorian media and pushing back and actually writing articles and editorials themselves, which has happened a lot in 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a really positive thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. When they describe what we do, they're using the non-preferred terms, but if they're describing who we are and referring to us as people, then they use the proper terms. It's interesting. I was talking about this, I keep referring to the last episode, but like... you're right. In our interview with Kate Holden, she said, you know, to your face, people will be absolutely respectful and, you know, pay you all the, you know, common courtesies that they would anyone else. But if they're not talking about you, if they're talking about what you do, so they depersonalize it, it's a lot easier to suddenly bring in all those prejudices again.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely reflected in the figures.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing, just quickly, because I know we are running out of time, is when you look at the section about the where we actually work, 58% of the references are to brothels.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Now, that's a reflection, I think, of the regulatory regime here in Victoria.
Yeah.
And how that positions us as workers and our opportunities and choices.
Yeah.
Or lack of choices.
Choices, yeah, absolutely. And when you look at sort of the way the law's set up, the majority of them do focus on brothels. Like, there's very small mention of... Well, they don't even name private work. So, you know, that hardly registers. And it's not surprising that that would be sort of the case that in the media it would reflect the same sort of thing. This is absolutely fascinating work, and I'd love you to come back when this is all, like, fully published and peer-reviewed and... I think it's really, really exciting. Thanks for sharing that with us, Jane.
No problem at all.
You are with the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Turn my mic up so people can hear me. And you're here with Christian and Jane, and we have received some messages of support. So we've had a message from support from people don't leave their names sometimes, so that's okay. So texter 325, thanks for your support. Also, thank you, Kathy. Another awesome Vixen Hour. Monday night wouldn't be the same without listening to the Vixen Hour. Friendship always. And that's a really, really sweet message. Thank you. 325 has texted in again though, and he said, this show's been really eye-opening. I didn't realize the extent sex workers were discriminated against. I didn't know sex workers couldn't get into some countries. The discrimination is parallel to what the LGBT community face. And I think that's a really, really important point. So a lot of the discrimination that sex workers do come across has traditionally been encountered by other marginalized communities, like the LGBTIQ community. So and that's part of what we do here at the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, is show the stuff that we have in common, and that, you know, quite often the discrimination that we face is, you know, it's not stuff that's completely alien to everyone, to anyone. It's stuff that a lot of people have gone through before. So what I thought we might talk about in sort of the last 10 minutes of the show is what sex workers can actually do to challenge a lot of the stigma that's present in mainstream media. And Jane, what are your thoughts around what we could do?
Lots. And actually, as I was saying before in the last segment, the changes that we've seen in some of the trends reflected in the data that I've been collecting have been caused by sex workers pushing back against toxic media. And that's been really positive. That's both by individual sex workers and by sex worker organisations. And it's things as simple as sex workers responding in the comment sections of articles online, through letters to the editor, through campaigns on Facebook, through commenting on Twitter, and through direct contact.
Yeah.
Through, you know, ringing up a reporter when there's a toxic article and asking to be, you know, ring ringing up the newspaper and asking to be put through and actually speaking to a person and saying, this affects me.
Yeah.
This has had an impact on my life and don't talk about me that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because as quite often reporters do contact me for comment on stories, and there'll be reporters that constantly write about sex work. Like you'll see, you know, one or two or three reporters in every newspaper have this almost obsession with sex work, and that's what they write about. And I had the opportunity to sit down with one once and said, you know, when you write an article like that, sex workers actually get really distressed and they cry, they become emotional, because basically what you're doing is you're describing them in really, really disempowering ways. And she was talking about, in the article that I was sort of sitting down with her and talking about, it was about the way that Asian sex workers are portrayed. And quite often they'll use words like, you know, trafficked victims or sex slaves. And what that does is actually rob somebody of their agency. And I mean, there are, you know, instances where people do experience those conditions, but you know, for the majority of people for whom those words have an impact on, it doesn't really help us or the perception of us. And sort of reflecting it back to those people, yeah, it was a real eye opener for her, because she hadn't thought to consult with sex workers and what they thought about her writing.
I think that's an important point. Actually, talking to actual sex workers,
mm-hmm.
Rather than talking about sex workers.
Yeah.
I think that's something the media need to do more of. And I mean, another thing that's really important is actually pushing back and making sex worker media, which is where things like the Vixen Hour comes mm-hmm. in and is so important. And, you know, sex workers writing editorials of their own and getting them published, and articles of their own, and zines and blogs. And you're seeing so much online activity from sex workers now, and individual sex workers mm-hmm. making a difference and making themselves heard in their own words.
Yeah.
And that's so possible now with the internet and Twitter and online media.
And to do it in a safe way as well.
Like, in an anonymous way.
Mm, yeah.
That's, you know, possible and safe for people that aren't out,
mm-hmm.
Like myself.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful, and I think that should be supported.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you just have to do a quick web search and you'll find, like, lots of, like, communities of, like, you know, sex worker bloggers who obviously have so much to say, and a lot of the ideas, and, you know, I keep referring to our last episode, but Eva Sless, who writes her own blog, and there's a lot of links on her blog, and that is on our Facebook page, actually does connect to a whole bunch of other sex workers. So if people are interested, one just needs to really see what's out there to be able to hear the voices of sex workers. So, yeah.
And, I mean, the other obvious important point is organisations like Scarlet Alliance and mm-hmm. Vixen.
Yeah.
And I mean, Scarlet Alliance, for people that aren't familiar, is the Australian sex workers organisation. It's the national peak sex worker organisation in Australia and includes individual sex workers and sex mm-hmm. worker organisations around Australia. And it's a peer sex worker organisation.
Yeah.
And for people that aren't familiar with what the term peer means, that means it includes only members that are past or present sex workers.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a really important point, because quite often people will, like, hear of an organization, but that doesn't necessarily mean that organization is just made up of sex workers. Quite often you find services that are staffed by people like, you know, social workers or health professionals, if you like, but very few employ sex workers. It's always important to find, you know, a peer-based sex worker organisation.
Absolutely. There are so many people that are willing to speak on our behalf and take mm-hmm. up the space where actual sex workers could speak, and we're more than willing to speak on our own behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's very frustrating for us.
Oh, it is. We've got to go to some messages, but we'll be back in a minute to talk about things like how to get in contact with organisations like Scarlet Alliance and other peer-based organisations. You're on the Vixen Hour. You're with Jane and Christian on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. It's come to the end of the show. But before we go, we thought we might say some of the contact details of how to find the Scarlet Alliance and other peer-based organisations throughout Australia.
Scarlet Alliance is scarletalliance.org.au, and that's one T in one Scarlet. T. We're not right. Gone with the Wind.
On Scarlet's page, they actually go through, if you click on like the tab that says who we are, it'll go through its member organisations. And Scarlet's made up of member organisations that are just made up of sex workers, as well as some associate members as well that may not necessarily be made up of sex workers. So, yeah, that's an opportunity for where to go if you want to find the voices of actual sex workers to consult with.
Absolutely. And yeah. It also contains important information on the laws and regulations in the different states and territories. If mm-hmm. you are, like me, someone that likes to go about to the different states, or if you want to check out the laws in your own state.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also useful for people who are doing things like researching sex work, or if you're in the media and you want to consult with sex workers, the Scarlet Alliance is a really good place to start. That is the end of the program. I did want to mention, though, one of the peer-based organisations here in Victoria is taking part in Pride March. So the sex worker organisation that actually does bring you the Vixen Hour, which is the Vixen Collective, is marching in Pride March. So if you want to come along and support us, the details, we'll post those details on our Facebook page. But for now, we do have to say goodbye. Thanks for joining me, Jane.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime.
You're on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We're signing off now.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime.
You're on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We're signing off now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.